Matthew chapter 9. Let's look at the last several verses of the chapter, beginning verse 35, and we'll stand, please, for the reading of God's Word, Matthew 9, 35. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, as we do a little teaching tonight, and just give some instruction, Lord, that you'll help us. Lord, I pray that you'll do what you want to do in this service, God. And ask, Lord, please, as we get into a new year, we're laying the groundwork, Lord, heading in a direction, that you'll prepare us all for the task at hand. And Lord, thank you for the example of your lovely Son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for showing us while you were here on earth how to live and how to be and what's important. May we truly be Christians, Lord, in this matter of seeing the need and having the compassion and signing up to be laborers. We pray, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to just do some teaching tonight. In fact, I'm going to speak on this subject, seven keys to a successful bus ministry. Seven keys to a successful bus ministry. Brother Jerry, aren't you going to preach the Bible? That's exactly what we're going to do tonight. Matthew chapter number 9 contains most all of these keys. There's other verses we could go to, but let me give you a little bit of a perspective on this. We're blessed here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're just blessed. One of the things that was great about taking on this church when Dad needed to step aside and you were gracious enough to allow me to be pastor was there were so many things already going good, already going right. Go back and check the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. All the way back, 1973, in May, they started the church. Before the end of the year, before 1973 was over, a small congregation meeting in a living room of a guy's house in Midland voted to buy their first bus. Bus ministry is not some new idea around here. It's not a token ministry that we have so that we can put something on the letterhead. We have had a history of being fully invested in the bus ministry. I want to carry on that legacy because it's right and because it's biblical and because it helps us to fulfill so many Bible mandates. This is a portion of Scripture that might very often be read by a missionary who would come visit Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And this is a favorite missions passage. But let me say this, folks. Don't forget it. The mission field starts right outside those two glass doors right there. That's where the mission field starts. I've said I don't like the two phrases, home missions and foreign missions. I just think it's all missions. And whether we're reaching people right here in Jasonville or the surrounding communities or helping to support somebody to reach somebody around the globe, it's all the same thing. It's all reaching lost people for Jesus Christ, and it's all important. Let me say several things about this portion of Scripture, but let me say this. Jesus, the Bible says, went about, the next word's very interesting, all the cities and villages. Let me say this. Christ Jesus, when he came to earth, he believed in gospel saturation. He believed in reaching everybody for Jesus Christ. I had our bus workers meeting right before here, and I told our folks, you know, we're in a very unique situation. And by the way, I'm glad for every good Bible-preaching Baptist church that runs a bus or a van anywhere in this area. But God's given us a real uniqueness in this regard that you can take a map like I have in my office, and I keep a map of the Tri-County area, and there's about a 12-mile radius circle, and we're at the point now where we can put our hand on that circle and say anybody that lives inside this circle that needs a ride to church, we can provide it. That's very unique. That's very unusual. Some churches have one bus route or maybe two bus routes, and they reach a couple towns. It's very unusual for a rural church like ours to be able to say, here's our circle, here's our Jerusalem. You call if you live in that circle. We can get you this Sunday. We can get you this Sunday. And it's very exciting. That's the Bible mandate, gospel saturation. God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All of the villages, all of the hamlets, all of the little towns and burgs, you know what? There ought to be somebody there that says, we can help get you to Jesus. I like this portion of Scripture because of the fact that it shares with us the heart of Jesus Christ. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Jesus did not have the ability to look at a crowd of people, to drive through some of these, or ride through some of these villages, walk through some of these villages, and just remain untouched. Everywhere he went, he saw lost souls. Everywhere he went, he saw a need. Everywhere he went, he allowed himself to be moved and touched by it. And if we're going to be Christ-like, that's the heart we have to develop. And then he gave the disciples a prayer request. He said this, first of all, the harvest is truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. And then he said, there's something I want you to pray about. This is what it is. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labors into his harvest. I want to talk to you a little bit about the bus ministry tonight and the ministry, this wonderful ministry that God's allowed us to have here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I want to talk to you and give you just some very practical information. There's a lot of things that go on in different parts of our church, and if you're not hands-on involved, you probably don't completely understand, and I know not everybody can serve in all of the ministries. I'm very comfortable with that. But I do want to increase our church's vision and burden for the bus ministry. I want you to stay open to the fact that God might have something sweet and for you to do in this unique ministry. And I want you to just spend a little time educating our church about it. We have set as a goal this year to double the size of the bus ministry. Here, let me give you something. By the way, our brand new bus, I heard it start up. I heard the back door open this morning when I was in the office early. And I looked out my window and saw that brand new bus for the first time leave the building. And then it pulled out here in front. Brother Abel got it out. I left my office, went to the back door, and just stared at it for a while. And I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to thank again everybody that had a part, not only in painting the bus and all of the work, the preparation of that, but also those of you that have given sacrificially to see that we could get this bus. And then to paint. It costs about $500 to paint a bus. Listen, that's a deal. If we hired that done, if it wasn't for the people in our church that stepped up and done it, it'd be four times that amount. I'm not exaggerating at all. So for $500, we were able to paint that bus. What a blessing. Letter it, the whole thing, good to go, on the road, and to praise the Lord for it. But we want to double the size of the bus ministry. Now, we have five buses and one van now. We're going to get rid of the red van, but we've got five buses and the white van. Let me just give you this thought. You may not know this. But if all of the vehicles, without us buying another vehicle right now, if all the vehicles went out and came back with their capacity, there would be over 300, I think I told the bus workers a wrong number, I refigured it'd be 320, over 320 people that would ride in on Blessed Hope Baptist Church buses. So it's not a matter of us needing to go out and buy a bunch of new vehicles. We've already got them running. We've got them going through the areas. It's a matter of let's fill them up. We've restructured the bus routes a little bit. I want to kind of catch the church up on this and let you know a little bit about what we've done. And we're going to start this next Sunday running the routes. We've changed the boundaries on some of them. We've restructured them. We've shifted around some workers and some helpers. And we're going to number the bus routes from now on. Our bus routes won't be known by location, geographical location, but by numbers. Let me just tell you what we're doing so you'll be familiar and you'll know what's going on, and I want to keep the church abreast of this. But we're going to have five bus routes right now. That's what we have. Route 101, 202, 303, 404, and 505. And that'll be what they're known as. I was going to name them 111, 222, 333, 444, 555. But I realized if we started another bus route, it'd be 666. And although I do have a couple captains, that might be appropriate and might actually fit, but we decided that might not be a good testimony to have Blessed Hope Baptist Church Red Bus 666 on the side of it running down the road. There's enough people talking about us without us asking for it. But we're restructuring the routes a little bit. Brother Jeff Reiser has been visiting the Marco Lyon Swiss City area. He's going to continue to make that run. But then instead of him coming on in and hit Midland and Vicksburg, he's going to keep on going straight there in Swiss City, come over, meet up with Brother Greg Burcham, and we're combining the Worthington route with those birds and making just one big loop coming in. And pray for Brother Jeff, Brother Greg. They're kind of going to co-captain that route. That's Route 101. Route 202 is our Linton route. Brother John Reiser and Sister Terry, they faithfully, along with their children, have served on that bus route for years and years and years and years. And literally, when I say decades, I'm not exaggerating. They've been very faithful to do that. That's going to be Route 202 from now on. It'll be our Linton route. Route 303, we're going to continue to run our Jasonville and Colmont route, only we're going to take Hymera and add it to Jasonville and Colmont. So Route 303 will start in Hymera, come on in, hit Colmont, and then come on in through Jasonville and to the church. Route 404 is going to be a restructured route. We're going to start it in Sullivan, but we're going to come from Sullivan to Duggar and then Cass and then come on in through, hit Vicksburg and Midland and come on in. Of course, Randy Beller is the Jasonville Hymera Colmont bus captain. Levi Hall is going to be a brand new bus captain. Be sure and pray for him. And this is exciting. This is one of our bus kids who's a bus captain now. And I told the bus workers, he's like the rock star of the bus ministry right there. And, I'm not sure what that means, but I don't know. That's just what I think of. This is the man right here, you know. Chad Gordon's going to drive for him. Brother Abel's going to drive for Brother Randy. Brother John's driving his bus, and Brother Chad Gordon is going to drive that route. What am I doing here? I'm thinking Levi Hall, Chad Gordon, Jesse McCammon, and Taylor Sagersey's on this route. Tina and Bud, I really need you to watch that situation for me. And Heather Wilfong, that is wrought with potential disaster right there. Sullivan, Duggar, Cass, Vicksburg, Midland, Bus 404. Bus 505, we're going to begin in Shelburne, and we're going to open up some new territory. We're going from Shelburne to Farmersburg, then back through the country. We have some young people that live in the back area of Farmersburg, on over to Lewis, and then on in. And Jeff Scales is going to captain that route. And so be in prayer for him and Sister Tammy. They're taking this on as a new ministry, and Brother Tom Daffron is going to drive the bus. We've got other people that are helping on all these routes, and I appreciate it. I want to talk to you a little bit about the bus ministry and try to increase our church-wide vision, church-wide burden for the bus ministry. One of the things that we're going to do is we're going to start some regional visitation opportunities, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. We're going to start that in March. But seven keys to a successful bus ministry. Let me start giving you number one. Number one, prayer. Right at the top of the list, prayer. If you're going to have a bus ministry, you've got to have prayer warriors. You've got to have people that understand the importance of prayer. This is not just something that a preacher ought to put at number one on a list because he ought to. It's there because it's essential. Bus captains, you need to pray. Bus workers, you need to pray. Bus drivers, you need to pray. But let me say this. As members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I feel very confident that this is true because I've met with enough of you and prayed with you on Sunday mornings and heard the heart of the men of our church. But we have scores of people that faithfully every Sunday morning pray for the bus routes and for the bus drivers and the bus workers and the children's safety while they are picking up. Bus workers, I want you to know that. I know not everybody in this church is on the bus with you, but I promise you most of the people, their prayers go with you every single week, and we have to have prayer. Those of you that live in the areas of these bus routes, I'm taking our entire membership, and I'm subdividing you, depending on the area that you live in, I'm subdividing you and assigning you that bus route. It doesn't mean that you have to be a bus worker, that you have to visit on Saturdays, you have to ride on Sundays, but I'm going to more finely organize our prayer support and also the ability for you to participate in following up on new families and being a help and a blessing to them. But as I divide you into these groups, let me say one of the reasons we're doing this, one of the primary reasons, is so that we know that there are specific people assigned to pray for specific routes, and we want that and need that to happen every single Sunday. So number one, seven keys to a successful bus ministry prayer. Number two, right after that, let's talk about personnel. Personnel. If you're going to have a successful bus ministry, you have to have laborers that go into that ministry, go into the harvest fields of the bus ministry. You have to have personnel. It takes people. I think I shared this story with you, and I won't tell you what church. It's not a independent church, not a fundamental Baptist church. But a couple of people called one time that goes to a church in this area and said, we'd like to meet with you and talk with you. Our church is thinking about starting a bus ministry. And I said, well, sure, come on down and I'll answer whatever questions I can for you. They came and they talked to me and they asked me about the buses. They asked me about the cost. They asked me about insurance. They asked me about liability. They asked me about all of the things that they felt like was needed to have a bus around, bus ministry. And I told them something at the end of the meeting. They said, is there anything we're missing? I said, if you're going to have a bus ministry, and I said, let me just say this. If you do not have a bus ministry, let me tell you what the number one reason will be. It won't be because of the cost of the bus or the gas or the insurance or the liability. If you don't have a bus ministry, here's the reason that you probably won't have one. It's hard to get people to dedicate themselves to that level week in, week out, every weekend. You're going to find out real quick whether or not your people are willing to sacrifice to the extent they have to sacrifice for your church to have a bus ministry. Bottom line is, folks, you don't have personnel, you don't have a bus ministry. I mean, you know, say, Brother Jerry, how can Satan shut down our bus ministry? Well, this could happen, that could happen. Well, I can tell you the quickest way for it to happen. Have a bunch of folks just find a reason why it's easier not to than to do it. Have just a bunch of folks that say, well, I did for a while, but this happened, so I'm just not going to do it anymore. Well, folks, you know what? If you have that level of dedication in anything you go into, you're not going to stick with anything very long. You know what? The bus ministry requires personnel. Let me tell you what we need if we're going to have a bus ministry. First of all, you have to have a pastor that has a heart for the bus ministry. You show me a church where they get a new pastor and they got a bus route ministry, but that pastor really don't have a heart for it. I give that bus ministry about 18 months to 2 years and it'll be gone. Because if the burden doesn't start here, you're not going to have a bus ministry. Let me say this. I want you to know this. Pastor Jerry Ross is 100% dedicated to our church having an effective bus ministry. This is not some fad ministry that we look back and said, well, it worked in the 70s and the 80s, but it don't work anymore, and we come up with all the other excuses that are given by churches to bail out. No, you know what? It still works. It's working here at this church every single week. It's working. It's working. So you have to have a pastor that has a heart for it. You have to have bus captains. If you don't have bus captains, the men that I just mentioned their names a few minutes ago, some of them are brand new. They're starting this. Some of them have been doing it for, like I said, decades. Let me tell you this, you have to have somebody at the helm of every bus that is committed to making sure that bus runs, committed to making sure that that bus route is successful, that the work is done, that the organization is done, the visitation is done. It takes bus captain. By the way, it takes bus drivers. This is getting to be a real challenge in our independent fundamental Baptist churches. You know what? This is going to shock some of you, and I'm not saying that it should have been this way. But the week that I turned 21, I went down to the license branch. I took a written test. I got a public passenger chauffeur's license. And the Sunday after I turned 21, I went to the bus garage, checked out a bus, and drove a bus for the first time in my life into Chicago. Amen. But I had guardian angels hanging all over that thing, you know. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're raised in the country, you've driven enough variety of some things where it's not like the only thing I ever drove before that was a VW. But that's how it used to be. I think for safety's sake, I'm all for some of the things they've done, but it's amazing how difficult they've made it to get licensed just to be a bus driver. I'm sorry, but every time I see something that's needed that the world makes that difficult, I tend to smell some fire and brimstone somewhere. But you, some of you that have tried to get it, you know that the hoops you've got to jump through and the obstacles and all that. I'm not saying it shouldn't have been tightened up, but the expense and the money just to get the license and all of the seems like built-in opportunities for them to fail you so that they can make more money off of you. It's just ridiculous. It really has reached the point ridiculous. But like anything the government gets a hold of and decides to run, that's pretty much what you can expect. Bus drivers, let me say this. Thank you. Thank you for jumping through all those hoops. Thank you for doing whatever you had to do to get a license. Thank you for the out-of-pocket expense. Thank you for the hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of miles some of you have driven. You've got to have bus drivers. You don't have bus drivers. We don't have any bus drivers this next Sunday. Guess what? We don't have a bus ministry. That's very important. I want to encourage you as I talk about these things to keep your heart open. Because we still need bus drivers. We need substitute bus drivers. We need men that's on standby. And it takes, yes, a commitment. It takes finances. It takes your time. It takes something to get a license. But it's worth it. You know, once you get it, all you got to do is make sure you keep it up. And you can have that then. It takes bus workers. Every bus route's got to have personnel. It takes people, folks. It takes that person on the route that says, I'll sit there and make sure that I am the bus route secretary and I take accurate attendance and I make sure that those kids are accounted for as they get on and later on as we load to make sure that every child is here. It takes puddle jumpers. Now, for those of you that have not been in the bus ministry, you may not want to know what a puddle jumper is, but it takes some young men. And we need some right now. We need puddle jumpers. I'm putting out applications. We need puddle jumpers right now on some of the buses. What is that, Brother Jerry? That's the young man, a teenage boy or a young married man that's willing to ride a bus and say, Preacher, whether it's icy or whether it's raining or whether it's snowing or whatever it is, when the bus stops, I'll take off out that door and I'll run up and I'll knock on the door and I'll get the kids out and I'll make sure that they get herded safely to the bus and I'll watch as they cross the road. And if it's raining, it's raining while I'm doing that. And if I get wet, if I get muddy, I get muddy. And if I have to jump puddles to get where I need to go, I just jump puddles. And we need those kind of young people. It takes youth. It takes that type of thing. It's a shame, young men, that some of you could be doing something like that. But instead, I've got ladies that have to go out and to a door and get bused. I don't know. There's just something not right about that. And I think you ought to keep your heart open to what God might say there to you. Extra workers on the bus. Just people. Just takes people that'll move from seat to seat. That'll sit with this child for a while and talk to him and sit with this child for a while and go back and maybe settle down a little bit of a rambunctious situation. And people with love and patience and a caring heart for these children, it takes personnel. If you're going to have a successful bus ministry, you need prayer and you need personnel. You need people that are dedicated to this ministry, people that are tender to the fact that God may want them in this ministry. And every generation of this church needs to produce a new generation of bus workers. Number three, let me give you this. Seven keys to successful bus ministry. Organization. Organization. To me, that's way up near the top of the list. Organization. I won't go into this real deeply, but let me just say that bus captains, bus workers, keep your bus route organized. You need to have your visitation organized. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when I hit the visitation aspect. Organized pickup plan. Let me say this, and let me remind all of you, bus drivers, bus captains, work together on this. But these buses don't get 35 miles a gallon. The brand new bus we just got is probably the best one we have as far as gas mileage, and it gets 8 to 8.5 miles a gallon. We have some buses right now that don't get 5. Now, please understand that every mile you drive needs to be organized. You need to be efficient. You need to be effective. There shouldn't be just this aimless wandering around. Oh, I forgot that kid. Oh, well, let's run back to this side of town. Let's go. You have to be organized because literally, folks, hundreds and thousands of dollars a month go out just to supply gas and fuel to put into these buses. And so it takes organization. organized record keeping, attendance, phone numbers, addresses. If we have an emergency here, how do we get a hold of a parent? Salvation, organized record keeping. Salvation, has this child been saved on your route? When were they saved? Have they been baptized? When were they baptized? And if they weren't, what are we doing about it? New visitors, when they get on the bus, an effective plan to sign them up and to get all of this new visitor information, and then to make sure it gets into the office where we can then pass it on to Sunday school teachers. And let me just say this, we're reorganizing all of that. Bus captains, I promise you, between me and my wife, we're going to be your worst nightmare if you don't stay organized. I mean that. We have to be organized. We have to have good record keeping. We have to make sure that we have the ability to have others follow up on these families so that we can target reaching the whole family for Jesus Christ. Have an organized program. I'll tell you what, I have no patience. I can't stand jumping on a bus and riding somebody's bus and have an unorganized mess going and coming. You need to have a program. We're going to teach you and train you how to do that. But you ought to have a program. Those bus kids ought not be running what's going on the bus. You ought to have a plan that keeps them involved, excited, and occupied during the trip. Organized church program. Let me say this to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. When all these buses pull in here and they start offloading them, we have to be organized. We have to be ready for them. We have to know where they're supposed to go. We need to get them from one area to another. We need to make sure they're always supervised. There's adults transferring them safely from one part of the church to the other, that they're where they ought to be. Children's churches ought to be organized. It shouldn't be a hodgepodge, mismatch. I didn't think of anything. What do you want to sing next? Man, it ought to run like clockwork, okay? Organization, and that's one of the keys. Number four, visitation. Visitation. Now, I mentioned this a minute ago, but let me say this. Visitation should be organized. It ought to be organized. Now, this is a way that Blessed Hope Baptist Church and those of you that are not in the bus ministry could really, really help us on this. We're going to restructure our visitation in such a way where we're going to have five places where you can go on Saturday, and most of them will be right in the area that you live. You can choose the one closest to you. You could go at a designated time. Most of our bus routes are starting their visitation time at 10 o'clock. I think Linton starts at 10:30, but the rest of them are starting at 10 o'clock. By the beginning of March, we'll give you the five places. We'll give you the five times. Now, Brother Jerry, I'm not in the bus ministry. Well, I'm not asking you necessarily to get in the bus ministry. I'm asking you to help with the visitation aspect of it. There's a lot of these families that need followed up on. If you're in the young adult class, I'd like you to hook up in your area and commit yourself to begin to go after parents. All you got to do is show up at these places, and a bus captain will say, hey, thank you for coming today. And you say, do you have some visits? Yes. Let me give you three or four families here. These are people that already send their children every week to church. I don't want you to go see the children. I want you to knock on the door, and I want you to invite them to our young adult class. I want you to tell about the young adult class. I want you to try to get the entire family coming to church. Visitation should be, it should be organized. Let me say that first. Number two, visitation should be consistent. If you're going to build a bus route, then you've got to consistently visit these kids. It can't be a hit-miss situation. You have to be there faithfully, week in, week out. You have to visit. Let me say this. It should be delegated. I think the most effective way for these bus captains, for you bus captains, to see that your area is visited properly is to divide your bus route up. If I had the Linton route, what I would do is probably divide Linton into four areas. You say, Brother Jerry, I'd like to, but I need four groups of people that could visit. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Listen, folks, when we start this regional soul winning opportunity, you may go to one of these bus captains, and you may say, you know what? I can't ride on Sunday, and I can't spend, 5 hours out here, but I'd take a corner. I'd take a piece of the town. And let me just share this with you, because I don't think that there's anything more exciting than to be handed the responsibility of a city or a town or part of a town. And week in, week out, pray over that map, visit that area, drive the streets, pray over the streets, pray in front of the homes, knock on the doors, keep leads written down, and work those leads and dig out people, and then begin to see from an area that was producing nobody, all of a sudden that first kid comes. And then that first family comes. And then a second family comes. And then the first time an adult comes. Folks, that's exciting. You know, folks, let me just encourage you. You've got to get something that becomes bigger than you at some point in your life. You've got to decide that there's something bigger than you. What a great opportunity. I mentioned Marco, and we're actually going to expand that route, one of the new areas. Marco's not very far at all from Sandburn. And Brother Jeff is already. Jeff and Greg went yesterday and visited from Marco to Lyons to Swiss City to Worthington, and just together said, let's visit every one of these routes. Folks, the two of them visiting everybody in those burgs and in Worthington took them 7 hours. 7 hours. Now, I appreciate their dedication. I appreciate them doing that. They're not going to keep doing that. They're going to split back up, and he's going to take Worthington. What I'm saying is this. I can't go to Brother Jeff and say, hey, what about Sandburn? Let's start visiting there. Somebody, well, I want you to just be tender to something. I mean, let's just open up a whole new way of thinking here in your life. What would happen if somebody just right now would listen to what the Holy Spirit of God's doing and say, you know what, why doesn't my family just go down there and take that city and say, we're going to pray over it and we're going to knock the doors and we're going to visit and we're not going to give up till God gives us fruit out of this city. And all of a sudden, folk, listen, that's how Marco got started. And that's how Lyons got started. And that's how Swiss City got started. Somebody had to have a pioneer spirit for the first time, walk into that area from Blessed Hope Baptist Church for the first time. And yeah, maybe go weeks before they got the first rider. And yeah, maybe face a lot of shut doors and no's, and that's too far. But you know what? They just kept praying and wouldn't give up. And now, Brother Jeff told me when he left Marco, Lyons, and Swiss City, he had over 30 people on the bus when he left those three little burgs. You know why? Somebody said, I'm just going to claim this territory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to get a vision of this. I'm not just trying to promote. That's just one area. That's just one area. There's sections of Linton that these folks can't get to. There's new areas we're opening up that's brand new. Nobody's been there. There's Sullivan. Brother Levi's taken on. And one man can't do all of Sullivan. Not a couple men can do all of Sullivan. So if you would look at this as an opportunity and say, you know what, maybe God would use my family just to take a couple hours on Saturday, an hour and a half on Saturday, show up to one of these things, go in and begin to visit, begin to dig out, begin to pray. And folks, we'll train you. And we won't send you out the first week. We'll send you with people that do it on a regular basis. We can show you how to do it. You got to have the heart to do it. Visitation can be delegated. It can be divided. It doesn't have to be one or two families trying to reach an entire city for Jesus Christ. If we've got, like I wrote down the other day, if we've got eight families from our church, eight or nine different families living in the greater Linton area, how come only one family is trying to reach that town for Christ? How come only one family and two ladies are trying to do any of the visitation that goes on over there? You know, let's just feel a little conviction. Just let it settle in right there. Amen. I mean, if you went 2007, or 2000, unfortunately it could have been. But if you went 2009, and your little knuckles never knocked on a door once, I just wish you'd get under conviction right now. I just wish you'd let God finally break through in your stubborn heart and your stubborn life and realize it's not everybody's responsibility but yours. You are responsible. You're responsible to be a part of this. And we can organize it and we will. We can make it as easy as we can as we will. But you still got to be willing to show up. You still got to be willing to say, Lord, are you asking me to take a part of my Saturday? I mean, 2 or 3 hours and just put it on an altar and give it to you? Yeah, that's what he's asking. Well, I can't do it on a Saturday. Then do it on a Friday night. Well, I can, you know what? It's not that you can't. Stop saying I can't. Be honest with God. If you're going to be backslidden, be honest. Say I won't. But don't say I can't. Don't say I can't. Say I won't. Okay, now, let me say a word. We've got, this is exciting. I know it's not seeming so right now to some of you, but this is exciting. It's exciting. Brother Jerry, man, I'm a senior saint. Man, I couldn't even hardly get from my door to my car this morning because of the ice on the thing. You want me to go door knocking? No, let me tell you what's great about this. Every area that we have some sweet senior saints in those areas. Our bus captains are going to be funneling you information on bus families and bus kids. You know what? You can sit right in your home if you can't get out, and you can pick up your phone and you can call and you can talk to some of these families. You're going to have addresses where if you just pick one or two of these families a week and you'd send them a card and say, you know what, I'm so glad, my name's so-and-so, let me introduce myself. I'm so glad that you let your children come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I pray for them by name every single day. I want you to know our church thinks they're important. And by the way, I'd love one Sunday to meet you and your husband and have you come to the church. If you get a chance to make it, look me up. My name's so-and-so, and I sit somewhere about here in our church. And if you ask anybody they know me, I want to meet you, and I want you to know I'm praying for you and your family. Folks, what an impact that could have. And so this is what I feel. I feel like whatever you can do to your abilities, to what you can do, you ought to do. And we're going to equip you to do that and help you to do that, empower you to do that, but you still have to be the one that does it. Amen? Visitation should include soul winning. Let me give all of our bus workers this heads up. Listen, folks, sometimes we separate soul winning from bus calling, and you ought to be in soul winning gear all the time. You ought to be looking for soul winning opportunities all the time. Sometimes right in the middle of visiting your regulars, there's a soul winning opportunity. Don't pass it up. I think that part of your bus visitation ought to be dedicated to soul winning. If you just take, say, I'll tell you what, every week, I don't have a lot of extra time, but I'll take two blocks, or I'll take one block, and I'll do both sides, and I'm out of bus route mode, I'm in soul winning mode. Of course, I'll be watching for kids, but I'm just going to knock on doors and soul win. You know, God blesses soul winning. I think the best way to build a bus route is through soul winning. I'm convinced of that. Visitation should include some new houses every week. Specialized visitation targeting the parents. I'm going to begin next Sunday to train and organize our young adult class to be included in this and to come alongside some of the bus workers. Listen, those of you that have children, guess who is putting those children on the bus? Couples that are your age. Couples that are prime candidates for our young adult class. So we want to just shock them in 2010 and have somebody from Blessed Hope Baptist Church knock on the door and say, oh, okay, it's from the church. Hold on, I'll get the kids. Whoa, 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 I'm not here to see the kids. I'm here because I want to tell you about our young adult class. I'm here because I want to tell you our church cares about you. Let me give you some information. Let me tell you about our class. Let me tell you about some of the opportunities and make that contact, begin to build those relationships. Visitation, specialized visitation. And let me say this, and I'll move on. Visitation should be upbeat and positive. You know, folks, listen to me. I promise you, if you go visiting with me, you go bus calling with me, you know what? There's nobody in that town more excited than I am. I'm not going to knock on a door and have a long face and look at some kid and say, I'm from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I'm sorry. And you probably don't want to go to church, do you? You know, it's a good thing you don't sell anything for a living. You'd starve to death, you know. Good night. If you're not more excited about your church than that, you ought to be. And so visitation, upbeat, positive. Listen, you've got to go to the door. You've got to start Saturdays. You've got to be excited. You've got to build that. Which brings me to my fifth point, seven keys to a successful busman. Number five, excitement. Now, children love excitement. Children respond to excitement. Teenagers love excitement. Saturday, you got to have Saturday excitement, like I just said ago. You've got to meet together. You've got to decide you're going to hit that first door with a smile on your face, the love of God in your heart, and listen, a bounce in your step. And you know what? I've just got this little window of time, and you know what? I'm not going to drag around. I'm not going to pout around. I'm not going to be looking at my watch, counting the minutes down. I'm going to hit everything I can hit in the time I have. And everybody I talk to, they're going to know that I serve a wonderful Savior. And that I want to talk to them about him. And I go to a wonderful church, and I want them to come visit that church. If you go on Sunday mornings to pick these kids up, you better go excited, because they're not always excited on Sunday morning. The way that you knock on a door and wake kids up and pick kids up is key to whether or not they're going to come. Well, listen, I don't knock on doors. I never in all of my bus ministry years, I was trained better than this, knock on a door and have a kid come to the door and say, are you coming? I never ask them if they're coming. Are you coming to church? you know, say, hey, man, it's good to see you. Hey, you know, you're not quite ready yet. I'll tell you what, we got a couple pickups we're going to make. You go ahead and get ready. Man, I know yesterday you told me that you're going to become something. Listen, let's talk to your mom about that. Listen, let's get this. This is a big Sunday. What's going on? Well, I guess I could. Why don't you come? Okay, all right, I'll be back. Okay. Now, they came to the door wanting to tell me no, but you know what? I'm excited. And it's contagious. Exciting pickups, exciting program on your bus, fun songs and fun contests and fun. If you're not having fun on that route, them kids aren't having fun on that route. So excitement, big key to the bus ministry. Number six, let me say this, safety. Safety is a key to successful bus ministry. Now, this is why I started with prayer. We've got to have the prayers of God's people. And I feel like we've got good prayer support, but we could use more. We have to have the prayers of God's people. Folks, really, let me say this. The number of vehicles we run every week in the history of this bus ministry and the many years we've done it, do you understand the miracle that God's give us in this matter of safety? The miracle God's give us in this matter of safety. But every bus captain, every bus driver, you cannot let your guard down for 1 minute one Sunday. We go to these homes and we ask those folks to give into our care the most precious thing that they have in the world. We cannot do a sloppy job. Let me say this to our bus drivers. I appreciate you, but you need to drive safely. You need to drive safely. These aren't race cars. I know they're painted fire engine red with white racing stripes, but they're not race cars. I'm serious about that. We've lost kids. People won't send their... It only takes one. You say, Brother Jerry, I'm safe most of the time, and I just got in a hurry that one time. That one time is when that grandmother's going to see you. Don't you send them... My grandkids, they're on that bus. You shouldn't send them there. I was on one of these back roads, and they come flying over one of those railroad embankments, and kids were bouncing off the ceilings, and... You say, well, they like that. Well, they may like that, but folks, that is not safe. It's not safe. Safe driving, safe pickup and drop-off procedures. No child. Listen, folks, we pick them up at the door. We send a human being to the door. We escort them from the door to the bus safely on. When we drop off, you don't open a door and let those kids run. You send a worker to deliver them back to their door. Say, we're not doing that. You need to start this Sunday, this next Sunday. You need to hand pick up and hand deliver, especially those, especially those that are being crossed in front of the bus and have to cross the road. They should never go by themselves. Absolutely, 100% never go by themselves to their house. Now, workers, some of you workers that just listen to some of you young men, you ride a bus, but you're lazy. I said, you're lazy. You want to just ride and sit there like a blob. And you want somebody else to run to the door and you don't want to do it. No, just let them up. No. Get off your blessed assurance and get those kids by the hand and walk them to the bus and greet their... Listen, we assume responsibility when we are handed them from their parents to us. We stop our responsibility legally when we hand those kids back to a responsible adult or a parent in that house. Well, I dropped them off and I seen them head to the door. Or the door was unlocked, I seen them go in. You have no idea what situation you just left those kids in. What if nobody's home? What if they go in that house, look around, nobody's home, you drive off, and they decide they're going to go run the streets, and then they get run over two blocks from there. Guess who's responsible for those kids? Well, I was already a mile down the road. Guess who is legally responsible for those kids? This church is. This church is. You pick them up from parents, you hand them back to parents. The minute you see a parent, you make sure that they're there. Here's your children. Thank you for letting them come. Our responsibilities and our legal responsibilities over. Safe pickup, drop-off procedure. Safe loading and unloading of buses. Well, we can't let down on this. I know we park all these buses together. It's fine. But folks, the way we unload them and the way we load them, it's so important. When you are ready to take off, you've got four buses or five buses parked out there together, you know, and other buses are still loading. Do you know bus driver, I'm asking you this. Do you know that there's no kid underneath your bus? Do you know that there's not a kid in front of one of the wheels of your bus? I remember watching one Sunday, and I'm going to tell you something. Kids will do, you say, well, they ought to know better. Oh, kids? Kids? I seen a kid get off one bus, and the bus captain was taking, they were busy, and I'm not blaming that captain. Kids snuck off. He's busy, snuck off his bus. He wanted to hide from his bus captain, so he goes to the front of the bus, not in front of his bus, to the next bus over, stands in front of the next bus over like this against the grill, hiding from the bus captain on the bus next by. I looked at that bus captain. He didn't see him get off. I looked at the driver that the kid got in front of their bus. He had no idea he was there. Okay, now why are you telling me that story? I'm trying to scare the dickens out of you. I have gotten in my car, the Jeep out here, Sunday night, started it up, looked around, kind of dark, got out of my Jeep, walked behind my Jeep and look around just because it's summertime, we got a bunch of kids running around, I'm going to make sure nobody's behind my Jeep backing out. If I'm willing to do that, I think the biggest nightmare in the world in my life would be if I ran over a child. I don't know, I mean, you talk about something to live with. Now, I know accidents happen, and I know good people, responsible people have had that tragedy in their life, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm just saying we got to take every precaution. If I'm a bus driver and I'm getting ready to pull off the lot, I got my bus worker out there, and I say, hey, you know, puddle jumper, come here. Jump out there. Stand in front of the bus. Look down both sides. Look underneath. You give me the clear sign. Make sure nobody's around that bus. Now, folks, listen to me. If you sent your children somewhere, you'd want somebody to have that kind of diligence. It is not fair for us to have any less for those wonderful children that come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So, safe boarding, loading, unloading, safe transport. Here's the rule, bus captains. Here's the rule. The law says every child is seated while that bus is moving. The law says that. The law says that. Okay, you're not in the office when the phone rings and somebody is on their cell phone behind your bus saying, I'm following one of your buses, and all I can see is a bunch of kids standing up and jumping over seats. What in the world are you doing? Now, I'm not mad at that person that called. No, I'm not mad at them at all. I'm mad at y'all. I'm mad at whoever's supposed to be on that bus in control of that bus. Now, bus drivers, you're not the captain, are you? But you're the driver. My bus captain says to me, okay, let's go to the next house. I will as soon as they're seated. You know why? Because bus captain's not going to get the ticket. You're going to get the ticket. Well, my bus driver's rebellious. Why? He wouldn't take off when I told him to. Why? Well, nobody was sitting down. He's not being rebellious. He's obeying the law. He's obeying Romans 13. You're being rebellious as a captain for asking him to do that when your pastor said they're seated. Now, all of you kids, let me just say something to our, and I love you guys. Don't get this wrong. But the kids that are most of the time notorious for not sitting down is the kids of our bus captains and bus workers. Now, let me just tell you why. These are good kids. But folks, they live on those buses. They grow up on those buses. And it just gets to be old hand to them. But children, listen to your preacher. You need to be seated. You need to be seated because it's the law. You need to be seated because your pastor's telling you. And you need to be seated because you need to be an example to those other children. Okay, if your mom and dad or the bus workers are telling the other kids to be seated, but you're the one up running around all the time, then you know what? You're not being a blessing. You're not being a help. You need to be seated on that bus. Say, preacher, I thought I'd come to hear a Bible sermon. This is a Bible sermon. This is helping Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Every single principle that's being taught here is a Bible principle. Folks, whatsoever thy hand find to do it with thy might, if we're going to do it, let's do it right. And let's make sure that we're safe. Safe, safety, 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 safe transport of the children. Safety. Man, I'm telling you, when I was a bus captain, I was a safety fanatic. As a bus driver, as a safety fanatic, I drove I drove public school, drove for the public school system all those years. I'm glad for the training they sent me to. I'm glad for the things I had to see. I'm glad for the warnings. I'm glad for the schooling. Because if one thing it'll do for you, it'll scare you to death. And you got to make sure, whatever you think a child wouldn't do, that's the thing they're going to do. And so you got to be safe, okay? The last ingredient will close. Seven keys to a successful bus ministry, L-O-V-E, love, love. Now, folks that work in the bus ministry, they have to be people that have a heart of love. They, first of all, have to love Jesus Christ. If you don't love Christ supremely, you probably won't stay in the bus ministry very long. But you can't just love Christ. You got to let the love of Christ flow over to a love of lost souls, a love for discipleship, a love for discipling new converts, a love for the entire family. It's our goal not just to reach children, not just to reach teenagers, but to reach entire families for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the bus ministry works. And I want you to pray about being a part of the bus ministry in some capacity. Some of these regional visitation programs, some of these opportunities to follow up on parents, some of these in some aspect. I'm calling for all hands on deck. 2010, let's double the size of the bus ministry. That means nobody ought to be sitting on the bench. There's something you can be doing to help in one of these areas. And so as you have the ability to do and the opportunity to do, I pray that you would do. Now, I'm going to make sure that these are available, but we're going to put these at the back of the church. There is a bus worker enlistment form here. And if you would be willing to help in some capacity on one of the bus routes, it's got a place for your name. You can check one or both, Saturday visitation or a Sunday worker. Well, preacher, I can help visit on Saturday some, but I can't ride on Sunday. No problem. I can help ride on Sunday, but Saturday, no problem. Whatever we can get you to do, we'd be glad to use you. Phone number, and if you have a route preference, the routes are listed here. The captains are listed here, and we want to make these available for you. I'd like to see about 40 or 50 of these things filled out. We need help. We need help. Brother John, Sister Terry, you need help, don't you? They have Lenten is too big for four adults on a Sunday to visit and to work it and to reach it. It's just too big. There's towns like Sanborn. There's towns like Lewis and Farmersburg where we're opening up brand new opportunities. There's Sullivan. I mean, there's no way. Levi, and I can give him a couple workers, but folks, Sullivan needs to be divided into fourths. And honestly, we could use four families over there. Just say, I'll take a quarter of that city, and we'll just get in, and we'll dig, and we'll visit. We'll just keep going till God gives us some fruit from that thing. I want you to fill these things out. Bus worker enlistment information. And that doesn't mean you have to write on Sunday. That doesn't mean it has to be the primary ministry that you're involved in here. But I'd like for everybody to work this. These will be at the back on the information desk. Please fill them out. And let's have a great year. You hear that? 320-some capacity of buses we've already bought, we already run, we already spend gas on. We're not talking about investing one more dime, except maybe a little bit more gas the more kids you have to pick up. But did you get that? What an opportunity. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless us, Lord, as we work towards this that you've laid upon our hearts, this matter of daring to desire a double portion. Think of all of the young people. I look around in this church tonight and I see kids that were reached through the bus ministry that are in our Christian school. I see kids that are reached through the bus ministry. I see them in Bible college. I see them working in the bus ministry. I see them as young adults. I see them, Lord, in our church working as Sunday school teachers and in different ministries. Lord, you said, the harvest truly is plenteous, the labors are for you. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, he'd send forth labors. And so, Lord of the harvest, I'm praying. Dear God, you know this has been the prayer of this preacher's heart. Oh, God, please. Whatever we can do, let's do it. I pray, Lord, that you'd make us available to your service. Lord, use this time tonight as we recruit new labors for the harvest, we pray in Jesus' name.